Welcome to the Grace Abounding broadcast, sponsored by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to minister the Word of God for you today. May the Lord Jesus Christ be praised and exalted through the message preached, and may He, by His Spirit of grace, grant ears to hear to each one He came to save and ransom by His shed blood on the cross. I'm speaking to you today from the Old Testament prophet Jonah, and this message is taken primarily from Jonah chapter 2. And I want to speak with you about the 3 days and 3 nights that Jonah was in the belly of the fish. Now, Jonah, the prophet, would have written this book somewhere between 785 and 760 years before Christ. This would have been even before Assyria had conquered Israel's northern kingdom and taken into captivity the 10 tribes of Israel. Primarily, Jonah is the key personality, but you also have the captain, the ship's crew, and the people of Nineveh. But the question is this just a story of history, or what would be the purpose for God directing Jonah to write this story? We know that all of Scripture is an autobiography of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God, in directing the various writers, 40-some, to write over a period of 1,500 years, even though they wrote concerning their experiences, yet we know that the Spirit of God was directing them to give a picture of redemption, the story of redemption. And so, the book of Jonah, the purpose of this book is to show that God is a merciful and gracious God to sinners. And I would add they're unlikely sinners. We're going to find out that this was the main issue with Jonah. It wasn't just that he did not want to go to Nineveh, or he was afraid to go, but even by his own declaration toward the end of this book, he was angry because he said he knew that God would be merciful. That's particularly found in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2. He prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, which would have been a town in the southern part of Spain today. He says, I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. The problem was that God was purposing here to show mercy to a Gentile nation, which was an enemy of Israel. And knowing that God would be merciful and gracious, Jonah, in his attitude toward that people, withstood and resisted. And yet in the end, he arrived exactly when he was to arrive, and he preached exactly what God purposed that he should preach, and the result was the repentance of this otherwise wicked nation. So this is a story of God's mercy and grace, but it is also a story that serves as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason I say that is found over in Matthew chapter 12. And verses 39 and 40, specifically our Lord Jesus Christ referred to Jonah and referred to his 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, the whale. We read here in Matthew chapter 12, where in verse 38, certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Every sign had been given that he was indeed the Messiah whom the Old Testament spoke. And again, all of Scripture pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet in their blindness they would not believe. And that's why our Lord Jesus said in verse 39, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. My question is this not a good answer for those today who continually seek after signs and miracles and wonders? What is the answer that the Lord Jesus Christ gives? An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. In other words, the scriptures are plain enough, and that's why our Lord said, there shall no sign be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Remember when the rich man died and went to Sheol, and he sought Abraham to send someone back to tell his brothers about the torment, the reality of the suffering where he was. The answer that Abraham gave him was, they have the scriptures, let them hear them. And that would be my answer to any today who have these same scriptures that we hold in our hand and from which I am now preaching, speaking unto you. If sinners will not hear this word, because it is the word that God uses to convert sinners' hearts. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not by miracles. There were many who were healed even in Christ's day whose hearts remained as dead as stone. Now, it takes the work of the Spirit in the heart to open the eyes, to cause sinners to see their need and their lost estate and to cry unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really what this book of Jonah is about. It's God purposing his word to bring an entire nation of pagan, idolatrous sinners to repentance. And our Lord uses Jonah as a type of himself. It says in verse 40 of Matthew 12, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, that's an important declaration, because many today try to round off those days. They say, well, the Lord Jesus was crucified on a Friday, and there's this tradition called Good Friday, and they say, well, he was raised again on Sunday. Well, you do the math. If he was crucified and buried on Friday evening, and the scriptures say that when the women came to the tomb, they found him already raised on Sunday morning, how do you fit 3 days and 3 nights into that calendar? You don't. It's more likely that our Lord Jesus Christ would have died on a Wednesday. And I know this throws off men's traditions. Buried on a Wednesday night, and he would have been Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night in the earth, in the tomb. And then 3 days, he would have been Thursday, Friday, and all day Saturday. That means then he would have raised Saturday evening, somewhere around 6 p.m. at the end of the Sabbath, which is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished, that he is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament feast days and sacrifices and ceremonies, and he is the Sabbath. He is the rest of his people that he came to save. So there's significance here in the 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So when we come back here in the book of Jonah, particularly chapter 2, we want to see how Jonah's prayer from the belly of this fish that the Lord had prepared. It says here in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. The same could be said of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord God, his Father, had prepared and ordained his suffering and his death, and that he should be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. It wasn't that he died and then suddenly rose again. 3 days and three nights was sufficient to prove that indeed his death had occurred, because that's what the law requires. It's not just a perfect obedience to the law that the Lord Jesus Christ did in every jot and tittle fulfill, but the penalty of the law. Not only the precepts, but the penalty. The wages of sin is death. being 3 days and three nights in the tomb was proof. This is all part of the gospel when we read in 1 Corinthians 15, the instruction of Paul to the Corinthians, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." There's not two different gospels of salvation. There's one. But it says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. There's profession. There's those that will attest to the facts of Christ's death without ever having had their hearts open to know the one who died and what he accomplished and how by his death God is now satisfied and sinners are justified. The righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ earned and established, God once for all imputed or put to the spiritual account of that people for whom he died. When he rose again, that justification was accomplished. All the detail, every detail is vital when it comes to the outworking or the fulfillment of what God has purposed. And Paul says that in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." We're not adding to what the scriptures have to say about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Paul received this from the Lord himself. And so his word to us is that of the Lord. How that it says Christ died for our sins, notice, according to the scriptures. It's not just enough that he died for sinners. Some say, well, why don't we just leave it at that? No, he died for our sins according to the scriptures. In other words, this word that I'm declaring to you right now defines the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he was buried, it says, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So how vital is that? Not in 2 days, not in 2.5, but 3 days and three nights. And just as Jonah, by the Spirit of God, writes here that the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow him up, I can tell you that every detail of Christ's life and death while he was on this earth was prepared by his Father. Not one thing was done unto him but what God the Father ordained. In Acts chapter 4, in verses 27 and 28, we read, "For of a truth against the Holy Child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." Now listen, verse 28, "For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." And so even with Jonah, though he was running headlong the other way, yet in the end, he was brought to accomplish exactly what God purposed. Now we know in this, the Lord Jesus Christ is the antitype because he never did resist his Father's will. Jonah suffered for his own sin. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered for the sin of that people that God from all eternity purposed to save. It wasn't sin of his own. He was tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin, is what the scriptures declare. And yet, just as Jonah suffered according to God's purpose and will, so the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jonah, it says in verse 17 of chapter 1, was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, exactly as what we've read here of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we continue down through here, I want us to see in the time that we have some parallels between Jonah's prayer unto God from the belly of the fish and how our Lord Jesus Christ would have cried unto his Father in his affliction. We see that, first of all, in verse 1, Jonah 2. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly." And verse 2 said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell." That word means Sheol, the grave, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. And this we see a parallel with the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ and his sufferings as he was upon this earth. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 5 and verse 7 describes it this way, who in the days of his flesh, speaking of Christ, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. You see the parallel here with Jonah's prayer where he cried in his affliction unto the Lord. And even as with Jonah, he testifies, and the Lord heard me out of the belly of hell, is the way he describes it, out of the belly of Sheol, out of the belly of the grave. Thou heardest my voice. The same thing is said of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he cried and prayed unto his Father with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Here's the wonderful thing about the supplications of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now this is on behalf of that people that he came to save, that the Father heard him. In fact, there's a scripture in which he declares that the Father always hears the Son. This is why I know that the Lord Jesus Christ did not come into this world to try to save everybody. Just like Jonah's mission here wasn't for the entire world. God sent him to a specific people, these Ninevites, at a specific time to preach unto them and grant them repentance. Our Lord Jesus Christ never prayed for the world. In fact, in John 17, verse 9, it's just the opposite. He said, I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me. So you can see he's heard and that he feared God. God raised him up from the grave. Again, he having accomplished all that God's law and justice required. You realize that if you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is actually praying for everybody in the world, and that somehow God loves everybody in the world, and yet not all are saved, then what does the work of the Lord Jesus Christ have to do with salvation? What does the love of God have to do with it? Must not have anything to do with it. But that is contrary to what we find in Scripture. He was heard in that he feared. In other words, because of his obedience, that righteous obedience unto death, the Father heard him, was satisfied on behalf of Christ's intercession, and those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes are indeed saved. So there's a parallel that we see here between Jonah crying unto the Lord in his affliction and the cries of our Lord Jesus Christ unto his Father in his affliction. But secondly, in verse 3 of Jonah 2, we see just how low the Lord God brought Jonah. And that's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was brought to the lowest of the low, not for sins of his own, but for those of the people that he came to save. In verse 3, Jonah declares, "For thou hast cast me into the deep." I can't even imagine what the deep of Christ's suffering was, to the depths of the suffering for the sin of that people that he came to save. In the midst of the seas and the floods compassed me about, Jonah declares in verse 3, all thy billows and thy waves pass over me. We know in reading in the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 2, that it describes there what I've read somewhere called the divine stoop. How low did God stoop in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save sinners? Jonah described his affliction as being cast into the deep. Here in Philippians chapter 2, we read, and being found in fashion, in verse 8, as a man, he humbled himself, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Think of Jonah here in the belly of the fish and the waters surrounding him and it being such a horrible way to die and drowning. And yet, our Lord was baptized or immersed with a suffering unto death that was unlike any other person that has ever died. Why? Because he was, unlike Jonah, just and righteous and undeserving of the death that he died. And yet God purposed that he not only die, but it be in a manner unlike any other way of dying, which was crucifixion, a very violent death. Yet God purposed that he be brought that low to identify with the worst of sinners, numbered amongst transgressors, even though he was just and without sin. So you can see that comparison as well between Jonah and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord being brought low. Again, not for sins of his own, but for those of the people he came to save. But thirdly, in verse 4 of Jonah 2, we read this confession of Jonah. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. What was in the holy temple? That was the place of sacrifice. That was the place of intercession before God. That's where God had put his name and would be honored through the priesthood and the sacrifices and the temple itself. All of this was a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came in this world to lay down his life, he looked to the temple as what he came to fulfill. See, that temple to which Jonah looked was a type and picture of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the temple, it's where God dwelt. The scriptures say that the Godhead dwelt in the Lord Jesus Christ bodily. Over that altar in the Old Testament temple, there was the Shekinah glory. And in the New Testament, that glory of God was manifest in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, John, writing about that in John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And yet, when the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died, he never took his eyes off of the fulfillment of what that temple represented. Just like Jonah here from the belly of the fish, never took his eyes off of what that temple represented. He looked to that temple. And our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 2 spoke of that temple. Again, the Jews in verse 18 seeking a sign. They said, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and 3 days I'll raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So again, a parallel between Jonah from the belly of the fish looking to the temple and our Lord Jesus Christ coming that in all things he might fulfill all that that temple represented. But number 4, just how our Lord Jesus Christ suffered unto death, depicted here in the waters encompassing Jonah. In verse 5 it says, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, and weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. You see how that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? The weeds wrapped about his head, typified in the crown of thorns that our Lord Jesus Christ would have borne in order to save that people. Think about Jonah here in the belly of the fish. This was all a passage from here to the actual repentance of the Ninevites, but it was necessary as a sign. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in order to save that people that the Father gave him, must needs have gone through the suffering that he did, from the weeds that were wrapped about his head all the way to being buried in the lowest part of the earth, but again brought up to life from corruption. It was impossible that our Lord should see corruption. So in that we see a picture of the suffering unto death of our Lord Jesus and his resurrection. But in verse 7, again a parallel, we see how our Lord Jesus commended his spirit to his Father, believing that his Father would raise him again the third day. Just as Jonah says here in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. Oh, what a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus, who commended his spirit to his Father, even as he went to the grave. There's a prophecy of this in Psalm 16, in verses 8 through 11, that the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2 applied to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times when people read the Psalms, they apply it to themselves, but it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says here in verse 8 of Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Hope of what? Hope of the resurrection. Verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, in Sheol. Same word used here of Jonah, in the belly of the fish. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So even as Jonah, there in the belly of the fish, believed that God would raise him again, so our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he had done all that the Father had sent him to accomplish, that he would raise him again. And then, final thing here, by way of comparison, we find Jonah praying a distinctive prayer, and I believe it represents the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, against the reprobates, because he says there in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Any that turn to any other way of salvation other than the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ forsake their own mercy. They forsake the one mercy seat where God is purposed to save sinners, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have those who will never be saved. God purposed to leave them to their own reprobate minds, and the wrath of God abides upon them. So in Christ's prayer for such, it would be for their condemnation. You say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't do that. Well, when he said, I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me, he was making a distinction. There are those that are left to their own devices and will continue as they have in life and will die in unbelief, trusting in another way. But look at verse 9. You see the but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. How is salvation granted? But through Christ having paid what he had vowed, and through his sacrifice. And upon that, it says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. When the work was done between the Father and the Son, Christ came forth from the grave at the end of the third day, just as Jonah here was brought forth. Once God had finished with him, he brought him forth to go preach repentance to the Ninevites. This is the gospel message that God has given his preachers today, to go forth and to preach repentance toward God, even faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. How significant are those 3 days and three nights mentioned in Jonah, but fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ? They are everything, because they declare God to be who he is. That Christ came, lived, died, and rose again, that he might be a just God and Savior of those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast, brought to you by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org. or call 318-687-4943. Please plan to join us again next week.